Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. Today we're going to be talking about the living water, and this is a very appropriate subject for today. We're going to be talking about the need for Jesus in your life. This is an evangelism message, and it is appropriate because as the earth gets shaken and everything in the earth gets shaken, while we're going to be needing Jesus more than we ever needed him before, and we're going to be needing to have our feet on the rock and be established in his kingdom and be certain of our steps, be sure of our steps. And so this is going to be a very appropriate message for this day, for this hour, and for these people. Just an update quickly on the work going on in Kenya. I'm coming to you from Kenya today. It's cloudy. We've been having some rain today and the last few days, and so we're back into the short rain season, which is the fall rains, and we have planted maize this week, a couple acres of maize, and we've also been working on the pastor's parsonage next to the church. And we have the church pretty much finished. We're cleaning up the tile and getting ready to hang curtains here shortly in the new church construction. And so we are ready. We just need to have the restrictions lifted. We're able to meet for 1 hour legally and have up to 100 people in the service legally. They must have masks and social distancing within the church. All those restrictions and protocol are still in place. But we are meeting and we are celebrating the good works of the Lord. We are celebrating the great church that he has given us. And it is a focal point in that community of Makunda. It is a focal point for people to come. We are established there. We're building a strong tower that the people can run into it there in Makunda. And so we thank the Lord for that. And we thank the Lord for the good work that is still going on. The children's home, we have 12 children now in the children's home, and so we are setting up to possibly have eventually 25 to 30 children there. It'd be a very busy place when we get that many children, but we are going well there. We are doing well, and so the Lord has brought good children to us, and we thank the Lord for that. We have a good staff. And we have people raising food for us. We have people that are bringing firewood to us and all the things that we need. And so we are rolling. We are going as the Living Water Children's Home. And that brings me to the subject of today's message. We call our children's home Living Water Children's Home. And we call our church Living Water Church. And so it's only appropriate that we would look to this scripture. Jesus said, I am the living water in this scripture. This is one of the many I am statements that Jesus spoke. He spoke several of them in the book of John. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am the gate to the sheepfold. And all of these different I am statements he made. And this one concerns the living water. And so we're going to take a look at that. If you have your Bible in John chapter 4, open it up there, and we'll start in verse 4, John 4, verse 4, and this tells about a journey that Jesus was on, and he went through the country of Samaria. He needed to go through Samaria, so he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And verse 10, this is the key verse that we're going to spring off of here. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And so Jesus is going through this country of Samaria, and the Samaritans and the Jews had no dealings with each other. Generally speaking, the Jews would go around this territory and not go through it. But Jesus had a purpose there. He knew he had a mission, and he knew that he was going to be speaking to this lady, and so he had a mission to go there. And so he is at this well, Jacob's well, and he sits there, and there's a lady coming who is a bit of an outcast. We'll talk about that later. She's a bit of an outcast in her community, and so she comes at a time when there's no one else at the well except Jesus, who is there to get a drink. And she says, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Well, beloved, if you knew the gift of God, what is the gift of God Jesus is talking about? If you knew the gift of God, you would also be asking Jesus Christ for that gift. If you knew about the gift of God, this is a message today for those of you who don't know Jesus, and for those of you who do know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, praise God for you. I thank the Lord for you. You know what I'm talking about. You don't need to be preached to. But for those out there listening, there are some listening today to my voice who don't know the gift of God. They don't know what their eternal destiny is. They don't know what their purpose here on this earth is. And so if you knew the gift of God, beloved, if you don't know the gift of God, let me explain it to you in very simple terms, so that after today you won't have any questions about what the gift of God is and how it can apply to your life. The gift of God, simply put, is salvation through Jesus Christ. Salvation meaning that you are born again, that you are saved and set aside, sanctified, set aside, and consecrated to do the work of the kingdom. But the gift of God is a free gift. It is a free gift. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to set money aside for it or go into debt to get it. You just confess your sins and you turn away from your wicked ways. You repent of your sins. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 tells us, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. We know that sin separates us from God. Sin causes us to want to hide from God, just as Adam and Eve hid in the garden. And those of us who are entrapped in sin, or sin is a major part of our life, we do our works at night for the most part. People steal at night for the most part. People watch pornography at night for the most part. People fornicate at night for the most part. And so when people are entrapped in sin, when sin is a major part of their life, they want to hide from God. And so the gift of God is that release, is that freedom. Jesus said, "I came to set the captives free. I came to declare release of those who are bound, of those who are bound in prison." He's not talking about the physical prison. He's talking about the spiritual prison. The wages of sin is death, and when we are entrapped in sin, when we are living a lifestyle of sin, we then become slaves to sin, as the Apostle Paul says. We become the slave of sin and the devil become our master. If you knew the gift of God, the gift is given to us freely. Freely we have received, freely we give. The gift is given to us. And it is for all people who are conscious of their sins. It is for all people who recognize that they are a sinner, that they know right from wrong. And when you know that you're doing wrong, when you know that you are not in the good graces of God and you want to hide from God, beloved, that means you have sin in your life that is unconfessed. If you have no desire to go to church, if you have no desire to read your Bible, if you have no desire to pray, you are full of sin, and there is something separating you from God, and there is something that is keeping you from God, And Jesus Christ says, I have a gift to give you, and all you have to do is ask for it. All you have to do is say, yes, Jesus, I want that gift. I want that free gift, and I'm going to turn from my wicked ways. I repent of my sins. I confess my sins, and I desire that free gift, that I can give up my sinful lifestyle, that I can turn it over to you and receive that free gift. And Jesus says, if you ask of him, he will give it to you. He would have given you the living water. Well, the woman then says to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? In verse 12, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? And in verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. And so now he's shifting the conversation from the physical or the natural water, because she's very focused on the natural water. She still doesn't understand he's talking about a spiritual water. He's talking about her spiritual life and not just drinking from the natural water. And so Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Verse 14, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Well, that is the key to salvation, beloved. That is the key to walking with Jesus Christ. It introduces us and it ushers us by his blood into the kingdom, and we can live in kingdom glory here on this earth. We can walk in kingdom glory. We can walk in kingdom blessings while we are here on this earth, but even greater than that, because our earthly life is a short span. Our earthly life is here today, gone tomorrow. And praise God for our earthly life. It's a joy. It's a pleasure. No matter what you're doing, you can say that you love life, because most people fight for life. Most people enjoy their life. But even beyond that, even beyond the natural of this life, we have the spiritual life. And that is, we are a living spirit created in the image of God. And we are created to do his works and do his good will here on the earth. And that living water then will spring up out of us. It will become in us a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And so that fountain Jesus gives us, we take it in. We take it in. It gives us strength. It gives us perseverance. It gives us endurance. It gives us blessings and glory and all of these things that the kingdom walk entails here on this earth. But even greater than that, when we close our eyes here on this earth, when we take our last breath here on this earth, then we are ushered into the eternal kingdom of God. Our spirit and our soul are eternal. Our body lays in the grave. Our fleshly body, our clay, lays in the grave. But our spiritual body and our soul are eternal, and they are taken up by the angels with Jesus Christ, or to dwell with Jesus Christ and all of our loved ones, our beloved ones who have gone on before us. Then we are with them in heaven for all eternity, and that living water then ushers us into the kingdom with the blessings of the Lord, and we spring up into everlasting life. And so that is the blessings of God. That is God's plan of salvation. That is the gift of God. And in Luke 11, I'm going to refer back to this, and this is another perspective on the living water. In verse 9 in chapter 11 of the book of Luke, so I say to you, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For whoever asks receives, and whoever seeks finds, and him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Well, I don't think so. Any earthly father that did that, we would not think very much of him. And so our earthly fathers take care of us. And so Jesus says in verse 13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so the Holy Spirit is that living water, and it allows us to spring up into everlasting life. And so Jesus said, you can ask and you can be assured that I will give it to you. You can ask and be assured that I have your best intentions in my heart. Jesus is not a trickster. God is not a trickster. He does not take any pleasure in false promises and in tricking us. And so when God promises us everlasting life, when he promises us a loaf of bread, he's not going to give us a stone, as Jesus said in that passage in Luke. And so this everlasting life then is our eternal goal. It's our eternal destiny. And we live this life here on this earth in full assurance, in knowing that when our life here is finished, that we have eternal life with Jesus Christ and all of the saints and the Father and the Holy Spirit in heaven. And that will be our eternal resting place. Well, finally, this lady gets around to asking Jesus for the water, and she says in verse 15, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. And Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Well, beloved, Jesus Christ saw through this lady. He saw through her. He knew all about her because he had the prophetic insight, not only being the Son of Man, but also the Son of God. He had prophetic insight. And so he prophesies over her that he knew about her personal life. And so I'm sure this shocked her. Beloved, there are gifts of the Holy Spirit called the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom and also the prophetic gift. And sometimes people can read your mail even when you don't want them to, even when you're not thinking about having them read your mail. They can tell you things about your life that you think are hidden from God and you think are hidden from other men. And people can tell you things about your life that will make you understand God knows everything about your life. There are no secrets in your life. He sees you're going in and he sees you're coming out. He sees who you hang out with and what you look at on your computer at the end of the day or in the night. And so nothing that you do is hidden from God. And so this lady had had five husbands, and she was living with somebody now. This would be at least number six, maybe more. She was living with somebody now who was not her husband, and they were cohabitating together, and Jesus spoke this to her. Everything that he knew about her, he spoke to her, and he made her realize that everything that she was doing and had done was known by him. And Jesus Christ, again, he knows everything about you. Your sins are not hidden from him. Your daily walk, even this very day, is not hidden from him. There's some people listening to me today. You think that what you're doing, nobody sees or nobody knows about it. I say to you today, Jesus knows about it, and probably some other people on this earth know about it. And God is calling you to come to him, to bring your life to him, to bring your sin to him, to repent of your sin and turn from your wicked ways, and he will clean you up. You don't have to be perfect to come to the Lord. You will never be perfect. You don't have to be sinless to come to the Lord. You come as you are, and you let Jesus clean you up. You come as you are, and He will work on you. He will mold you and shape you into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, then this lady tries to shift gears, and she tries to take the focus off of herself and take the subject off of her personal life. And so in verse 15, the woman says, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews," or salvation is of, it came through the Jews. He's talking about himself. "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him." Beloved, you don't have to go to Jerusalem to worship God. You don't have to go to a certain mountain in America, the Rocky Mountains or Mount McKinley. You don't have to go to any certain mountain to worship God. You can worship Him in your home. You can worship Him in your living room. You can worship Him in a local church in the community that you live in. And you can worship Him in spirit. That means the Holy Spirit connects with your spirit and takes you into the spiritual walk with the Lord. And you worship Him in truth, which means your walk with the Lord must be built on sound doctrine. You can't just bounce around and dance. You have to have a knowledge of God's Word. You have to have a knowledge of the doctrine of the kingdom of God. And that is worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And in verse 24, Jesus said, "God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." And so Jesus is explaining to her that the kingdom is not in a particular place. She doesn't have to go to the temple as the Jews did to see the glory of God. When you want to usher in the glory of God, you get down on your knees and pray, and the glory of God will come upon you. His presence will come upon you. That isn't to say that God does not desire us to be in church. God does. He says, "Do not forsake the assembling of the saints," and so much more so as the end days draw near. We are in the end days, and so God wants us to assemble together, to encourage each other, to pray with each other, and just to see each other and see the smile on each other's face and give us encouragement. And so we want to be in the fellowship. We desire to be in the fellowship, and that is God's desire for us as well. And yet at the same time, we can worship in the fellowship, and we can worship anywhere where we desire, and we want to spend time in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. Well, finally, this lady is starting to get the message. She's starting to understand that this man in front of her is very special, and that this man standing in front of her has been sent to give her a very important message. And so in verse 25, the woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when He comes, He will tell us all things." And so she's starting to reveal her own revelation of what she thinks the kingdom will look like and what she thinks the kingdom is all about. And Jesus said to her, verse 26, "I who speak to you am He." He confesses to her that He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the one that is coming. And through Him, salvation shall come to her and to all the people all over the face of the earth. Well, I'm going to close right there with that scripture. Jesus said, "I am He. I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. I am the living one, the living water, the bread of life. I am who God says I am. I am the Son of God. And if you've seen me, you have seen God," said Jesus. That is why Jesus is the sticking point. He is the lightning rod for people all over the world. Many people talk about God. They have their own viewpoints and their own aspects of God that they agree about or disagree about, but when you start talking about Jesus and through him and him alone comes salvation, then it becomes a different subject. It becomes a lightning rod, and Jesus himself said, I am the Messiah. I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Well, beloved, I hope you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I hope you have confessed his name. If you haven't, you need to do that. Get down on your knees, confess your sins, and say, Jesus, I want to be a servant of you. I want to give my life and my heart to you. I ask you to come into my heart and cleanse my sins and take this burden off of me. And Jesus says, I will do it. That's why I came, to set the captives free. Well, I thank you for listening today. I hope if you have a decision to make today that you do that before this day is over, and let me know. pureprairie@hotmail.com is my email address. We have projects going on in Africa. As I spoke, we're building a pastor's home right now. We also are taking in more children in a children's home. We'd love to have you sponsor a child in a children's home. And so all of these things are ongoing projects. You can be a part of that. You can be a part of the great work going on in Africa through Gather the Outcast Ministry. Stay tuned for contact information. We'd love to hear from you. Sit down, write us out a note, include a donation, and we thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.